The American dream is both personal and cultural. The idea that regardless of your background, if you work hard, you can get ahead. In our six-month series, Planet Takeout, we're examining the American dream inside Chinese takeouts around Boston. These takeouts serve as a cultural turnstile of sorts, where people of all ethnic backgrounds arrive for the same thing. Well, today, Planet Takeout goes beyond the turnstile and beyond the niceties of melding different cultures. WGBH Radio's Val Wong examines the tensions facing one ethnic group trying to make it as an outsider.
Chinese takeouts live within a cultural paradox. Take Yum Yum, for instance. It's been serving Chinese food for more than 30 years in the heart of Dorchester's diverse Fields Corner. On one hand, it's part of the urban fabric. On the other, it's a world apart. I met one of Yum Yum's regulars, Joyce, after she ordered shrimp fried rice.
They're nice to me. They know me. I was pregnant with my son like 6 years ago, and I was working from 2 to 10. And I would call here on the way home, leaving from work, and I worked out in East Boston. And they would stay open and wait for me till I get here.
Joyce is African-American, which ordinarily wouldn't be mentioned in this story. But the cultural crossroads of a Chinese takeout, how these businesses connect with community of all colors, is what sparked my curiosity in producing the Planet Takeout series. Are there tensions in running a Chinese takeout in Black and Latino neighborhoods? Joyce says she won't go to other Asian-run businesses. It's a matter of respect.
One thing that I do notice is that a lot of Asians, they don't notice your face. You can come to them a million times. They do not know your face, but he does know your face. I even think he knew my voice and my order before they had caller ID. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There was an overflow of tension last spring in Washington, D.C. That's when Marion Barry, the former disgraced Black mayor and now a councilman, attacked what he called dirty Asian businesses in his ward. Barry fired off a series of tweets that laid out his grievances. Asian-run businesses should hire from the community, serve healthier food, keep their shops cleaner, and dismantle the thick plexiglass that separates them from the community. Barry suffered a major backlash, but his racially charged comments raised questions. Were there legitimate points to be made? Back at Yum Yum's, I heard from another regular, Albert Watson, who's Black.
I've always found that fascinating. You can come into a neighborhood, sell your food, make your profit, and I'm not that sure if you're putting that profit back into the neighborhood. It would be nice if that did happen. It seems to me that they don't.
One reason is Yum Yum's size. With a staff of just 3, all of whom speak their hometown dialect of Toishanese, they have no room or need for employees hired from the neighborhood.
Giving back, people barely making it.
MIT Urban Studies professor Tani Lee has been hearing the same arguments for years. He grew up in Boston's Chinatown and has studied how waves of immigration have created and recreated the ethnic landscape of the city.
I think somebody like Marion Barry has to understand that the people who are providing the service are also poor, also struggling. I don't know what he expects of them. I mean, you know, they're not going to provide, you know, Little League uniforms or come to community meetings. It's like,
Actually, Little League uniforms are exactly what's needed. Evelyn Darling is the executive director of Fields Corner Main Streets.
So in an ideal world, small business owners would have, they would be really connected with the local community. There's one shop in particular that I can think of where the owners really take the time to meet their customers, to know them. They know their names. I know there are businesses here, including that particular business, where they will donate to the Little League or other community groups.
I asked Timmy Chan, the cook of Yum Yum, whether local organizations have come in asking for donations.
Yes, but we have no money to give. Business is bad, so how can I donate money?
Plus, he and the other staff work over 10 hours a day. Even if they wanted to give back, there isn't much to give.
I mean, the amount of profit anybody's making, razor thin. I think the bankruptcy rate for restaurants is huge. It's something like 40% go broke within 5 years. And takeouts are even more marginal, plus crime on top of that.
For Professor Lee, the late-night, cash-only takeouts have reason to put up barriers. But danger is just part of the equation.
Often a lot of that is they don't speak English very well. So it's very hard to, you know, become part of the community. And if you know, you know, for the people running it, it's just a place to make money.
In the last few months, I've been spending a lot of time in takeouts. In Roxbury, I found one that defies all the stereotypes. Peking House has been in the mostly African-American neighborhood for more than 40 years and has been passed down from one generation of family to the next. Peter Pang is now in charge.
Peter knows people's name. It's almost like the old Cheers. Like everybody in here, I bet you can tell about their family, and he can tell you about what they eat just because they know.
Robert Lewis is a Peking House regular, and he's also the founder of Hoops Excellence, a basketball program in Roxbury that helps at-risk youth.
Peter has been a stellar guy in the community. It's important for guys like me because we survive off a lot of guys like Peter that have businesses in the community, but also that will contribute, you know, and not just money all the time, and not just, you know, obviously food, but just time.
Peter helped start a football team for high school students to keep them off the streets. He coached the team for 10 years. He recalled one time when his players were from four different neighborhood gangs.
Well, you have the Bailey Street, you have the Quincy Street, you have the Tablet Ave. I mean, it was just like a lot of swaggers and a lot of trash talk, but I don't think they meant anything of it, but it's just the attitude. I wanted to change that attitude, because with that attitude, you're not going to make it in society. So we have to bring them together. And we brought them together. They were a great group. And the last game, we lost to Worcester, which is the state finals, 45 seconds to go. And one of the kids started crying. He said, I said, why are you crying? We lost. No big deal. We had a great year. He said, no, coach, I won't be on the field with these kids anymore. That was the winningest moment in my life.
William Biggs, one of his former players, came in to order some shrimp fried rice, boneless spare ribs, and chicken wings.
Pretty strict with Peter. He's a real character. He runs around the field going crazy while he coaches.
Peter says that other Chinese immigrant families he knows would never run a takeout in Roxbury.
They don't like it, but they don't know what I know, and they're not willing to reach out. I mean, it's easy to pass judgment before you get to know the people. I'd rather know the people before I pass judgment. Because I'm going to be here regardless. I'm going to be here 10 hours a day, you know, 4, 5, 6 days a week. I might as well enjoy the people that come through the door.
Chicken chow mein.
Oh, chicken dinners.
Yeah.
Say ho. Gai chi sai.
For Planet Takeout, I'm Val Wong, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
And a bag full of $100 bills.
Yeah, right. You print
small
them.
One.
You print them. Unmarked old bills. Old bills.
Old bills.
Right.
Planet Takeout is a WGBH documentary project with our partners at ZIGA and AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio. You can see previous Planet Takeout stories and leave stories and photos of your own. Just visit planettakeout.org. 故事在城外，浓雾散不开，看不清对白，你听不出来，风声不存在，是我在感慨。